not say goodbye. We both have our dreams, we both wanna fly. So let's take tonight to carry us through the lonely times. I'll always look back.
Radio, it has to be Ribble FM.
I'd like to introduce the backseat driver, a young lad who is, shall we say, is a bit keen on his motorbikes. John Rigby, chairman of the Lancs TRF, which is the Trail Riders Fellowship, which is a non-competitive organisation. It's a national organisation, as the name infers, he's from Lancashire. There is a Yorkshire lot, you'll be all pleased to know, but they go out and they enjoy riding what you probably describe as off-road motorbikes in beautiful locations for the sheer unadulterated fun of it all. It's non-competitive, so you won't find them screaming past you with your number on the back. John Rigby, welcome to the Backseat Driver.
Thanks very much.
What exactly is a trial rider as compared to a trail rider, a trials rider, an enduro rider and everything else? Because you lot are non-competitive. The other lot are.
Yeah, it's the rides we do are purely for scenic route, rides out, etc. So we use road legal bikes. They are predominantly enduro bikes. You can use bigger adventure bikes, but we can carry on those. But where the trials bikes are for, you used to see years ago on Kickstart, and where people going over large obstacles in a confined area, the trail riding is literally what it says. It's riding the trails over the beautiful landscape that we have of the UK.
I conclude just putting in some of these were like the old shepherd's tracks and things like that. Proper highways and byways from centuries ago.
Yes, they are. A lot of them are known on the Ordnance Survey map as boats, which is byway open to all traffic, unclassified roads, etc. But to reiterate, they are legal roads.
Right.
So you have to have a legal machine that's taxed, insured, MOT to go down these. They are not, as you quite rightly said, it's not a racetrack. It's not a closed-off environment. There are enduro days where you can go round forests and race.
Yeah.
But this is not what we do. We try to cover all aspects of motorcycling, but this is predominantly what we do.
Yeah.
I know.
So, I mean, in a roundabout way, it's a combination of off-roading and riding on tracks and things like that. You don't set out to off-road, do you? You just have to use very old byways.
Absolutely, yes. So a ride out for a typical Sunday day would include a lot of normal tarmac roads to get to some of these roads because yeah. They're not all connected together. And we could do anything from an 80 miles to 150 miles in the nice summer evenings.
That's just going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not a little bamble. If we go riding, we're going to go for a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I get the feeling unless you finish up mucky, you haven't had a good do.
Well, yeah. Most of the time you come back mucky or wet from the rain or anything. We ride all year round where a lot of our fellow bikers, the road bikers, will put the bikes away around this time of year.
Yeah.
We keep going. We just, as soon as it starts to snow or anything,
we're out.
Absolutely.
You're like me. When I were a lad, 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
And I used to have minis. Yeah. I used to be out to the local town car park if it snowed, giving it maximum attack with handbrake. Hey, absolutely.
Yeah, there is something about trying to ride a trail where you can't actually know what's underneath the snow. There could be a pothole, there could be a rock, and it's a challenge. But as I said, it takes all sorts. There's all sorts of motorcycling. This is trail riding.
Yeah.
And this is what we do.
How did you get into it?
So I've been riding for, we'll just say, a few years from when I was a young lad. And I started off, ironically, doing trials.
Yeah.
My dad bought me a trials bike. He was a big biker. From that, I then figured out that I liked it, but the thrill of motocross, which was a lot quicker, appealed to me more. So I then moved over and did some motocross racing when I got into sort of teenage years. Then after that, obviously, I came to license age and I went, oh, I want to ride on the roads because it gives you the freedom to ride around.
Yeah.
So when you could, those days you could get one at 16 and you could be out. And that's what started it all off. And I've had motorcycles in my life in some form or another.
Yeah.
Right up until the present day. But over the years, the roads have got more and more dangerous.
Yes.
And they're more controlled to make it safer for everybody, but the road bikes are so powerful that you struggle to ride them with some passion because of the restrictions. And as I said, it's you're a target, I believe, at sometimes that you can be. On the
which, like I said to you, I have ridden motorbikes.
Yeah.
And I stopped because I was fully convinced I'd had a target painted on me.
Yeah. We're
it's just one of them things. And you think, the other thing is, why are you doing that? I'm riding something that, if there were no speed limits, you wouldn't come anywhere near to me. But
there is, yeah.
Why are you doing it?
Yeah, it's so where we've now moved over to, the trail riding is getting out onto lanes where the most you'll probably see is some walkers or some sheep or maybe the odd tractor because, obviously, some, as I said, are access to farmers' lands as we go past the lands. And it's just the speed limits for these roads are 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Some of these lanes that we ride will be nice, open, flowing, the equivalent of like a farm track.
I conclude some of them could be like paved in a way.
Nearly, yeah, because they'll be...
Hundreds of years ago, they did pave some of them, didn't they?
Yeah, they were cobbled, etc. And then over the years, they've been regraded and looked after, and they've been stoned. And, you know, you could nearly get a standard road bike down them. Then there's, you know, you go to some places in Yorkshire and you go to some places in Wales, you'd be lucky if you can get going more than 4 or 5 miles an hour, because you'll be either stuck in mud and bog or trying to get over rocks and stones. And it's just a different, it's just a different approach to it, and it's a different challenge.
Yeah.
So, but there's no maniac vehicles coming the opposite way, or so you know, it's a safer environment.
Yeah.
And it's, and it's a different challenge.
Yeah.
So.
So you're saying you got into it. What made your move to basically trail riding being non-competitive? Because what you have done was...
Absolutely, yeah. One was getting older, because...
I know the feeling.
Yeah, it hurts more when you fall off when you're older.
But when you get old, picking them up...
Yeah, absolutely.
Making them stand up again so you can get back on will get hardly work, won't it?
It was. The other thing was, is you get out onto some places where you see the natural beauty of the country, and it is phenomenal, some of the sights that we can see in the landscapes. And you wouldn't, and there's where we go sometimes, you can't get a car there. You'd have to be on foot and walk if you weren't biking or mountain bike, etc. You know, we appreciate there's people out there that cycle as well. But some of the views are absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
So it's a love for the countryside as well as motorcycling, because, you know, the fast boys want to go round and round racetracks, but you see in the same corner every sort of 90 seconds.
Yeah.
A lot of people that go riding motorcycles want to go out for a big ride for the day. They do it, you know, we do it as well, but we want to go and see different sites. We see things that, you know, it's just a phenomenal sort of...
And I conclude... Because you're just enjoying it, you can stop when you want. Get your flask out, get some sandwiches out, and there's no pressure to, we must be there for a certain time.
Not at all, no. We set out what we plan to do as a route.
Yeah.
We usually have somewhere where we all congregate to start with.
Yeah.
And then we usually try to ride into sort of some...
By the way, a shameless plug for Bridge House Farm Tea Rooms, which is where you all get together on a few occasions.
Yeah, that's where I met a few other people, and we have a stand there, and that's usually on the first Thursday of the month.
I mean, their bike net is incredible, isn't it?
It is,
The greasing them to get them in, and it's a huge area.
So we have a static stand there, and we can talk to people that want to come in. There's lots of people out there that will be listening to this podcast that they've got.
Radio show, sir.
They'll be listening to this, and they'll have an adventure bike, a bigger one.
By that, we're talking about, I conclude, like the Dakar stuff.
Yeah, your BMWs, your big bikes that you see all the panniers and stuff on, the big Africa Twins, these sort of bikes. Now then.
Which I conclude are extremely heavy when they're fully laden.
They are, but we still cater for those. So we will put rides on, because we've got guys in our club that have more than one bike in the stable.
Yeah.
And they'll like to go out on those bikes. And those rides will take in a lot more of the tarmac scenic routes.
Yeah.
But we'll also encompass them, some of the off-road rides.
Yeah.
But a lot of your listeners won't be taking these bikes off-road, because they won't know where to start, which roads they can go down. Anybody can pick up an Ordnance Survey map and find these roads on the map.
Because you were saying before we went on air, you look at an OS map, and it doesn't... It tells you that there's a road there.
Absolutely.
It doesn't tell you whether it's a legal road.
Absolutely.
Or it's now a bridleway or a footpath.
Absolutely. So... two main things would be for that is, before you go on some of these roads, this is what the TRF is there for. We have, on our website, we have something called the Green Road Map.
Yeah.
So if you subscribe and become a member of the TRF, then you get access to this road map, and this is updated, literally, that gives you basic indications whether, if you wanted to plan to ride a certain road, you can see whether that road is still open, or if it's been temporarily closed due to repairs, etc.
I was going to say, I conclude, given where these roads are, they might get shut off from bad weather or repairing them or doing whatever, because, I mean, they're hundreds of years older, some of these.
They are, and some of them, so we also help that. So the TRF, as a national group, are all about conservation.
Yeah.
We try to support the local area, and then obviously nationally, because we want to keep these lanes open.
Yeah.
And we want them, and obviously if they get too bad, then they become damaged to the environment around us. So what we, and a lot of the landfill will drain off into the farmers' fields, and we don't want that.
Yeah.
So we will help to regrade some of these lanes to keep them open, because it's in our interest.
Yeah. Do you ever get it where there's like a diversion because a farmer's doing something? He'll say, yeah, can he go around there? Like?
Yeah, and obviously on the day...
And ladies, because I conclude there are ladies who run.
Absolutely there are, yes. And then obviously on that, on the day, if that's something you didn't anticipate because it wasn't on it wasn't on the GRM, or it wasn't on the local council's website, because they list all their roads as well. If it's not on that, we literally just turn round. We've got maps on the day that we take with us. We circumnavigate to pick up where we were intending to carry on route round. So it, there's nothing hard and fast. It is, it's an enjoyable day out.
Yeah.
It's, historically, it's been seen as a middle to later age sort of environment. So this is, but it does. It has this sort of, you know, people see it as this. But we're trying to, so part of my rapport this year is that I'm trying to appeal to the younger guys and the people that ride bikes in this world.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you learn, as long as, as I said to you earlier on, if the bike is MOT'd, it's road legal, then it's insured, then, you know, if there's younger people that want to come out on these rides, get in touch with the clubs local to you, which can be found on the TRF website that we'll talk about in a bit. But, yeah, and come and join in and take your bike off-road in an illegal and an organised way.
I conclude by doing that way, somebody might have just like what you might call an ordinary 250 road bike. I conclude you guys can say, well, you don't come on this ride we're doing, but on the ride we're doing next week, you could well be all right on your little ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We are, when we advertise rides, we literally go... There's a ride usually from our group. There'll be rides going on all over the country all the time.
Yeah.
I'm here to talk about our Lancashire group as a priority.
Yeah.
And we put rides on. I think we worked it out of 52 weeks for 2023, we did over 60 rides.
Right.
Which means at least one every weekend is going out. And that could be... it could be an enduro one, which is for the mud and the harder rocky stuff.
Yeah.
It could be an adventure bike one for the bigger bikes that is predominantly tarmac and some trail riding. And then, you know, we always get involved because everybody loves motorbikes. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
We even get involved with the odd road ride. We did the Manchester Ring of Red this year.
Yeah.
So we joined in with all the other road bikers, because our bike's road legal.
Yeah.
We joined in, and we rode round with them as well. Predominantly off-roading, but we'll lend our hand to a few other bits and areas of motorcycling as well. Of course we will.
Your local radio station for the Ribble Valley. On air, online, and on your smartphone app. Ribble FM.
Carry wanna see, and you know the way you wanna see.
No, I've just had my bra fitted properly, so everything is right where it should be. Remember, any good outfit starts with the right foundations. If your boobs aren't up where they should be, being supported and making you feel comfortable, then nothing is going to look or feel right. You wouldn't put a size 7 foot in a size 3 shoe now, would you? Perfect Fit by Carol, with more sizes than you can imagine, and fitting so easy. There's no tape measures involved. It's practically magic. You'll wonder why you didn't visit sooner. Visit them on King Street, Clitheroe, or check out their Facebook page. Perfect Fit by Carol, getting you your perfect fit.
Looking for work you can start straight away? Rapid Recruit has opportunities waiting right now across Barnoldswick, Nelson, Burnley, Accrington and Blackburn. From warehouse shifts and production operatives to FLT drivers and machine minders, there's something to suit your skills and lifestyle. So call Rapid Recruit now on 01282 459 669 or visit rapidrecruit.co.uk.
Time to start thinking about your Christmas staff party. Step into Christmas magic at the Barley Mow in Barley. Glowing log fires, rich wood interiors and a sumptuous festive menu. We cater for corporate numbers with flair and character, making your event super special. Don't let your date slip away. Call 01282 690 868 or visit barleymowpendle.co.uk. Even better, drop by to reserve your slot and make this year's Christmas party truly unforgettable at the Barley Mow, Barley.
Looking to turn your precious memories, holiday snaps, sports shirts, family heirlooms into gallery quality showpieces? Then head over to Bespoke Picture Framing by Alexander, located on York Street, Clitheroe. With over 150 five-star reviews, Alexander handcrafts every frame with museum-quality glass options to preserve your treasures for years to come. He frames everything from prints and paintings to vinyl records and odd keepsakes. Oh, and he loves a challenge. So whatever you need framing, Alexander's your expert. Bespoke Picture Framing by Alexander. Bring in your memories. Walk out with art.
Craving something different? Discover Akila Street Food in Great Harwood, where homemade Indian-inspired street food dishes meet with a Lancashire twist. Sizzling curries, proper doms, fish pakoras, rolls, wraps, you name it. Every bite is crafted with love and passion for tasty treats. Lunch, dinner and even takeaway. It's the perfect place to tickle your taste buds. Akila Street Food, Great Harwood. Taste the fusion, taste the passion. Your taste buds will thank you. For more information, find us on Facebook.
You were there.
Your local radio station for the Ribble Valley. On air, online and on your smartphone app. 106.7 Ribble FM.
Now, we've touched on the subject of the bikes. I mean, just run me through them, because, like we were saying, there's the big, the Perry Dakar-style bikes. There's when I attended the event at Bridge House Tea Rooms, the number of bikes, there was a vast cross-section of bikes, from modded stuff that the every wealthy biker simply must have, down to some very interesting classic bikes, and bikes that you will probably associate more with scrambling, things like that. So just run us through the bikes.
Yeah, there's... So everybody thinks that they need to go out and buy the latest that the manufacturers have got to offer, and you need a 10 grand or above bike for these trails. You don't. Everybody wants the new technology, but we have guys that come riding out on bikes that are 20 years old.
Yeah.
As I said, they're still going, they're maintained. These guys have got a passion for these things, yeah, like you would do with any motor vehicles, with cars, etc., that you'll obviously be more aware of than me. And it's just, these bikes will do it. And we do the rides based on the bike's capabilities and your rider's capability.
Right.
We wouldn't take somebody on a ride that they would feel uncomfortable doing or not able to do.
Yeah.
So if anybody comes along to any of the static events that we do or any of our meetings we have to get involved in it or any other club, then they would usually ask, what have you done before now? What sort of off-roading have you done? Have you ever been off-road, or are you a hardened sort of motocross rider that's been doing it for 50 years? And then they can set the route. And
I can't believe they'll also say, what sort of bike have you got?
Absolutely, yeah. And then what is more suitable for the style that you want to go?
Yeah.
Because we want to make sure that everybody has an enjoyable day.
Yeah.
And they come back and then they want to go out riding again.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to come back and go, I can't do this, this bike's not for me, and they just get fed up. And that's not what it's about. It's getting the most out of the vehicle you've got. And it doesn't matter what you've got. It doesn't need to be the latest one. You just need to be prepared when you go. Carry some tools, carry some water, carry some food.
Yeah.
Because, as we said, we go to some very remote locations.
So a bit of petrol might not go on.
Absolutely, yeah. We always carry some spare, but we always try to factor that in.
Yeah.
And then obviously food, try and factor that in as well. But there's many a time where we're fixing punctures halfway up a mountain because somebody's got it. Where your typical road ride out, you'd probably put your leathers on, your helmet, get your phone in your pocket, your wallet, and that's all you'd carry.
Yeah.
We carry sort of a minimal toolkit with us and spares. We have to, because if we get stuck up there, we have to fix
it. You can't call the garage,
guys. No, it's not. Yeah, when you take the AA and you say, where are you? And they go, yeah, we don't cover quite up there. You'll have to get a bit closer to some tarmac. But, that's why we do it. It's a love of motorcycles, and it's a different area of it, and we're happy to promote it and happy to support anybody that wants to come along.
You mentioned tyres.
Yes.
Now, you look at the fast road bikes, and they're virtually on cut slicks.
Yes.
What sort of... Because, I mean, you ride such a cross-section of surfaces. What sort of tyres do you go for? The other thing is, I get the feeling, you won't have your tyres rock hard. Do you vary your tyre pressures depending on what you're doing?
All of the above, really. But, yes, your adventure bikes are usually... they run at a slightly higher pressure, but the adventure bikes will... People look at tyres and they percentage split it. So you'll hear people talk about a 50-50 tyre.
Yeah.
Which means it's designed to 50% of its life on tarmac.
Yeah.
50% of it on some sort of dirt. Mm. Then you go to the other extreme where they are sort of like 90% off-road.
Yeah.
10% road. Depending on what you and your bike want to do, the majority of the time is the tyre you need.
Right.
Because if you are going to go on adventure rides, an enduro tyre that's 90% designed for off-road is great for getting stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
But for those nice waving layer roads that are on top,
they won't have the grip. It's like trying to drive very fast in a 4x4 with big serious off-road tyres on it. They don't stick old.
No. So it's as my dad used to say, horses for courses.
Yeah.
So it's the tyres that are suitable for the ride you want to do. And again, some of the, when you're going over rocks and stuff like that, a lot of people lower the tyre pressures because then you get a wider displacement for the tyre for grip. But then you don't want a soft tyre when you're out on the tarmac because obviously it...
Which more looks like rolling flats.
It does, and it underhands the stability of the bike. So we actually have people that that carry battery-operated tyre pumps.
Yeah.
So you can literally increase or decrease on the day if you really want to be get the most out of it. You don't need to be that sort of like precise about it, but we have some people that do, but we carry them in case people get punches anyway. So if it's there, you could use it.
I mean, the other thing I get the feeling is not the physical size of the bike, but engine size probably isn't quite as critical, providing the engine has a lot of low down torque or else it's correctly geared. You don't need something that will do 210 mile an hour.
Absolutely not. No. So the lighter little enduro bikes probably will do no, because of the gearing and, as you said, how it's set up. They're designed for going, getting yourself out of mud, going over rocks, through intricate roadways. You're probably topping out at 40, 45 miles an hour without doing any damage to the engine. Obviously, the adventure bikes are geared that little bit higher so that they can go on the roads and keep up to the national speed limits, etc. But then they're not going to be necessarily going over the rocks and the muds that the little bikes do.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you want a challenge, bring the big bikes and, you know...
Ride the one better and ride the wrong bike.
But, you know, you've got to remember that at the end of the day, there's a good chance you'll fall over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to pick the bike back up again.
Yeah.
The lighter, the more nimble it is, the easier it is to pick it up. So, or just take a load of big burly mates with you that'll pick it up for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's...
That's
the... So riding a Honda Goldwing is not the idea of being on your outing.
No. Though there is a guy that put some off-road tyres on one, I think, on some social media that's doing the rounds. But it doesn't do... Farewell. you can...
At least one thing, you can't listen to his hi-fi whilst all this is going on, guys.
Absolutely. So we've got, in Lancashire, we've got one of the biggest roads we have, which is comes out of the back of Lancaster area. It's called Salterfell.
Yeah.
And that's a great starter road for people to for our club area.
So it's ideal for anybody.
It is, yeah. Because any bike can go down it because it is wide, it is open, there's some great views up there, and you can literally, you could probably ride your Honda Goldwing down it, just about. But the concept of it is...
You might get the Mick deck.
You might do that. But it's a great place to start. And then from that, then you can get a feel for it, and you can go, yeah, this is me, I want to do some more of this. Or, thanks very much, that's my limit. And, you know, everybody has their different limitations of what they prefer to do.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. And as a club, we try and cater for that. We'll always take people out to their capabilities and for what they want to do.
I was just going to say, how difficult is it to learn how to do it? Do you have to be a decent bike rider to start with?
Well, I think that's a really sort of, like, open question. I think it's like everything. I think if you've got a natural towards... riding a motorbike, then riding off-road is just a slightly different skill set.
Yeah.
Now, there will be lots of people out there that will be sort of like pointing at the radio going, no, absolutely, there's a fundamental difference between it. And there is, and don't get me wrong. And that's if you're doing the hard enduros and the racing, etc. And there are different techniques of riding an off-road bike to riding a road bike.
Yeah.
You move around on the seat more because you're trying to balance your weight more.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily...
Well, I suppose it's like watching what do they call them, like, Rossi and everybody else.
Yeah, you're not trying to get your knee down going around these corners.
You're watching them shifting weight. I mean, they're going around some corners and they're hanging off the things.
And then we're going up and down some steep gradients.
Yeah.
So you're going to balance yourself on the bike accordingly.
Stand up and lean forward a little bit.
Yeah, or backwards, depending on what actually you're approaching. And obviously, on the normal roads, you don't come across a tree that you've got to ride over. So you've got things like that to appeal to. So, there is some more riding skills. But if you've got a natural ability for riding, it's something that can be taught and something that can be learned.
Yeah.
So don't think it's, you know, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Somebody will always be at a different level to you, but everything can be,
yeah,
everything can be taught. So, yeah, just enjoy it and come along.
And the clothing that you wear, is it different? I mean, like the lads who like the racing bikes and they're in these skin-tight leathers and everything else.
Absolutely,
compared to you guys who are wearing something completely different.
Yeah, we are sort of more, we're sort of a little bit more towards the motocross people.
Right, because so, at one point in time, it was like, it was Bell Stafford, nothing, but I think that's all stopped now.
Yeah, it's, well, not quite, but...
I do have two proper Bell Staffs in the game, yeah, but this isn't a plug for Bell Staff, if they're probably negative. You look at Bell Staff now and you think, well, I certainly won't be wanting to ride a motorbike with that thing on.
Yeah, it's... So you need to wear protection because, you know, there's rocks and things where you go riding. So you wear knee protectors. Predominantly, you'd see the guys wearing more that you would expect to see on a motocross bike, the boots.
Yeah.
So they're more motocross or touring boots.
Yeah.
Because of the terrain we ride over. And then the jackets are sort of more movement.
Yeah.
Because on a race bike, you know, it's head down on a lot of them. And
head down, normal bike. I've tried one once. I thought, I only ride this for pleasure.
But yeah, so you need a lot more versatility on the bike.
Yeah.
And then carrying a set of waterproofs as well, because I said if the heavens open, you're going to get wet.
Yeah, because you're in the middle of nowhere.
You are.
There isn't even an alehouse somewhere around here, is there?
No. Though we do try to, maybe factor that in if we need to for the lunchtime, but obviously we don't promote drinking and riding. But yeah, obviously some good pub grub halfway through the day to make it enjoyable. As I said, it's not a race.
Yeah.
It is. We go out, we go for a ride, and as we were saying earlier on, we do some mileage, and it's not, it can be 80 to 120 miles. You can, you've also got to take into fatigue as well, because if you're on the road, you can just bimble home.
Yeah.
If you're out on the trails, you can come off the trails and find the tarmac way home, which will be the easier one.
Getting to the tarmac could be difficult.
It could, and you'll usually find that's the longer way round, because obviously, we've been off-road and we've wrote the route that we were going to ride according to the off-road. But no, never ride past your capability. If you're tired, that's it.
So an orbiter would think less of you if you got like three quarters way around and I turned around to you and said, thanks very much indeed, John. It's been a phenomenal night, but I'm going to get myself back home.
No, absolutely. It's all about maintaining that the security and the safety of the ride.
Yeah.
It's a bit cliche, but it's like the SAS. We never leave anybody behind.
Yeah.
So if we get to the end of a trail and we know there's six of us, and there's five there, if we take into account a variable distance between one rider and the next, if they haven't turned up within a reasonable length of time...
Like 10 minutes or so, or something like
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it's quicker than that.
Yeah.
So because of the length of the lane, we will hightail it back and try and find out in case there's an issue, etc. So, and if people are getting to that point where they're falling off because of fatigue and stuff, or they're not quite on their game, then absolutely, that's the time to call it a day. So, and we work it from there. And everybody's individual.
Right.
The Voice of the Valley, 106.7 Ribble FM.
I hate confrontation, it makes me uncomfortable. My brain goes hazy, racing when I get vulnerable. It's a lose-lose situation. Communication just makes it worse. I wish I could just say it straight away. Oh, I hate being this way. Learned it from such a young age. My needs and wants ain't important anyway. When you say something's wrong, I just wanna make it better. Oh, but I've realized that you just wanted me to listen. But listen when I see you cry. I can't stand what I feel inside. Oh, I just wanna fix you. Guess I'm what they call a people. Please, please, please. Guess I'm what they call a people. I'll everyone else or my life. And it's so hard to describe unless you do it too. It's a lose-lose situation. Communication. I wish I could just say it straight away. Oh, I hate being this way. Learned it from such a young age. My needs and wants ain't important anyway. When you say something's wrong, I just wanna make it better. Oh, but I've realized that you just wanted me to listen. But listen when I see you cry. I can't stand what I feel inside. Oh, I just wanna fix you. Guess what they call a people.
Valley 106.7 Ribble FM.
Looking for a reliable, trustworthy skip hire service? A1 Skip Hire is here for all your waste management needs. Family run for over 20 years, ensuring your waste is handled responsibly and efficiently. Offering a wide range of skips to suit your every need, whether you're clearing out your garage, renovating your home, or managing construction waste. And because we care about our beautiful planet, all of your waste is processed at our fully licensed recycling plant. Maximum recycling and minimum landfill. Serving the entire Ribble Valley and Blackburn with Darwin. We're local and we're ready to help you manage your waste the right way.
Here are the numbers to call. For the Ribble Valley, 01200 360 035. And for Blackburn with Darwin, 01254 391 616.
Three-phase contractors, your local eco-force specialist.
How would you like to cut energy bills and upgrade your home, all for free? You could get a government-backed grant covering the full installation of solar panels, heat pumps and insulation, absolutely free. And it takes just 1 minute online to check if you qualify. Don't miss out. Visit threephasecontractors.com today. Your one-minute eligibility check could change your home forever.
Three-phase contractors, your local
In the Ribble Valley, care isn't just a service, it's a relationship. At Ribble Valley Crossroads Care, we've been supporting local families for over 35 years, and now we're growing our team. If you're an experienced carer or simply someone with a caring nature, we've got flexible, full and part-time roles waiting. Enjoy a two-week fixed rota, paid travel time, and the reassurance that all visits stay right here in the Ribble Valley. Make a difference with every visit. Apply today. Visit crossroadscareribblevalley.co.uk and get in touch.
Looking for a delightful dining experience in the heart of the Ribble Valley? Look no further than Hindelini's restaurant at Gisburn Park Estate. Open every day from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Hindelini's serves up mouth-watering dishes made with love and locally sourced ingredients. From English classics like fish and chips to our famous full English breakfast, there's something for everyone. Our vibrant outdoor setting with regular live music, peaceful walks around the estate after lunch, and we are dog friendly and even have water bowls and treats for them. Book your table online today and treat yourself to a culinary adventure at Hindelini's. Visit gisburnparkestate.co.uk for more information.
Premier Chadburn Village Store does exactly what it says on the tin. A local convenience store run by local people that offers the cheapest 24/7 pay at the pump fuel, comprehensive range of groceries, and we're also a pay zone provider for bill payments and mobile top-ups. Open from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. We're here when you need us.
Chadburn Village Store, open when you need us most.
Listen to us on 106.7 FM via the app for all smartphones, streaming from our website and on smart speakers.
Play Ribble FM.
This is your local radio station. This is Ribble FM.
Now, you're Lancashire, so how many trial or trail miles are there in Lancashire? And I get the feeling you jump over into Yorkshire periodically.
We do, yeah. Now, unfortunately, we talked about...
Now, it's all unfortunate you go into Yorkshire.
Oh, yeah. No, Yorkshire's one of... So that we have three main go-to points outside of Lancashire. West Yorkshire, because literally just over the border. We go to Cumbria and we go around the lakes.
Yeah.
And then if you want the, as I said, the harder routes and the mud, then we go to Wales.
Right.
To North Wales. In Lancashire itself, we have very little roads that we can ride.
Yeah.
But we are fortunate that we have these other counties on our doorstep.
Yeah.
So within an hour and a half of driving or riding the big bikes, you can be in one of these other areas, these other counties, and off we go. And there's a lot of crossovers between the different counties.
Yeah.
So Cumbria TRF will come riding into Lancashire, Yorkshire will come into Lancashire, North Wales, etc.
Yeah.
And it's in that respect, it then becomes one big club.
Right.
Because anybody can join in on the other clubs and say, can I come on one of your rides?
Yeah.
It's not, you're in Lancashire, so you only ride with the Lancashire guys.
Yeah.
Not at all. It's a national thing, so you're just part of the local club.
Right.
Of that area.
And we mentioned women, ladies. I don't know whether you're about to mention them these days. Dearie me. How many ladies do this?
The minority of this moment in time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. There are a few out there, and it's... I don't want to say anything for or against it, but yeah, it seems to be a male-dominated area. There's lots of women that ride road bikes, but not as many percentage-wise that will ride off-road.
Right.
They are out there, and absolutely, it's brilliant to see, and it's open to everybody. I think sometimes it can just be, but it's seen as a male testosterone sort of environment, and it's not that. We welcome everybody, so yeah.
So, I mean, if you wanted to get into it, roughly how much would you have to spend on a suitable bike? Because I mean, lots of thought you'd say, well, don't be buying a new one, buy a used one.
The first thing that, because you at some point you're going to drop it, and all these guys that buy brand new bikes, it's literally the first ride out and it's scratched.
Well, that's not clear if you buy using it, it's all nicely scratched
for you, yeah. buy something to your budget.
Yeah.
Because you are going to, at some point, have to replace maybe the brake lever, the clutch lever, if you drop it and you break it.
Yeah.
You might break the plastics on it.
Yeah.
Because at some point, there's a potential you're going to drop.
I get the feeling, looking at some of these bikes, some of the things that are on them are actually designed to break.
Yeah.
Safety features.
Yeah. And then there's handguards and stuff like that. It's, with racing and everything, make sure you're protected first.
Yeah.
Spend the money on the equipment that, for your boots, your helmet, your gloves,
yeah,
your knee protectors, your back protectors, etc. Spend that money first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because it's at the end of the day, the bike can be replaced, repaired.
Yeah.
It's harder to do it for you.
Yeah.
Then see what you've got left and get involved with the bike. We have guys that come on bikes that are of all values.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, they go out and they buy the latest enduro or adventure bike for thousands of pounds that have come off the production lines and they're nice and shiny. And then we've got the guys that have got 20-year-old, as we were talking earlier, that have got the scramblers from years gone by.
Yeah.
And, you know, that there's not as much money in them, and some of them will look maybe battered and bruised. But as you said a moment ago, these bikes are not just used on tarmacs. They're going to go places where they're going to get scratched, they're going to get the odd dent in them, they're going to fall over. So, yeah, but just maintain them. A lot of people just, you know, put stuff away. Dirt can get into the bearings of the wheels. Your chain can, you know, people jet wash the bikes and then don't oil the chain afterwards. Yeah. We see a lot of unprepared bikes.
Yeah.
That they've rode a few times and just give it the nice shiny clean rather than a deep clean and the maintenance. And then a lot of the problems are because they've not looked after the bikes. Because of the environment they're in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we go through fords of river and we could go through water that's like 2-3 feet deep.
Yeah.
And you're going to get water, not necessarily in the engine, but we have done before, but, you know, we can drain them out and keep riding on the day.
Yeah.
But it's about maintaining the bikes as well, so it doesn't need to be the most expensive and the newest technology out.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to tell me?
So the club, we meet once a month, the first Tuesday of every month, and we meet at the Poachers Pub, which is in Bamber Bridge, sort of just off Leyland, stroke Preston. If you're interested, obviously, and you're local to us, come along, say hello. Our meetings are opened up for anybody.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a TRF member to come to our club night.
Right.
Because we encourage you to come along and see if you want, if it's, talk to people.
Yeah.
That,
is it for you?
Is it for you? Exactly, yeah. If it is, then, and you're interested, then we'll take your name and your details and we'll invite you out on a sample ride.
Yeah.
And you get to go out with us and then you get an idea of whether you like it or not. From then, joining the TRF as a whole, and that's the main thing, then gets you access to everything on their website.
Yeah.
And it gets you access to the green roadmap. And then from there, obviously, the world's your oyster. And then, as I said, we also try to put rides on for adventure bikes. We put some road bike rides on, so it's open to everybody. We do, as we said, we do some static events.
Yeah.
So we have a stand at the Ray Bike Nights in Lancaster when that starts up again next year. We've done the sprints like Horton Tower and Leighton Hall.
Yeah.
We've had static stands there. We've been outside Wigan KTM. So when people are going in to look at all the nice shiny bikes, we can tell them where you can use it, yeah. And all these sort of things. So, yeah, come along. We have a Facebook page as well.
Facebook page, yes, is Lancashire TRF Adventure Rides.
Yeah.
And your website, or the general website, is trf.org.uk, preceded, of course, by all the W's.
Yeah.
But, John Rigby, it's been a pleasure chatting to you about a subject I don't know a great deal about, but I know a hell of a sight more about it now. But thank you very much for joining me on the Backseat Rider.
Thank you very much.
Clitheroe, Gisburn, Worley. This is your local radio station. This is Ribble FM.
I'm waiting now, saving all my precious time. Losing life. I'm missing my same old us before we learned our truth too late. Resigned to fade, fading away. So tell me, can you turn around? I need someone to tear me down. Oh, tell me, can you turn around? But either way, hold me while you wait. I wish that I was good enough. If only I could wake you up. My love, my love, my love, my love. Won't you stay away? Tell me more. Tell me something I don't. Having it all. If you're gonna waste my time, let's waste it right and hold me while you wait. Is it true? My faith is shaken, but I still believe. This is you, this is me, this is all we need. So won't you stay and hold me while you wait? I wish that I was good enough.
Gisburn, Longridge, Clitheroe. This is your local radio station.